You and I have a great mission, because each individual Christian represents a portion of who Christ is. Each one of us must take our small portion, and we are to unite it together in the name of Jesus Christ. It's called the church. It's called that you and I need one another. Not only that, not just one person will ever be able to sing out the glory of God. It is with the angels of heaven. It is with the glory coming down into the heart. Now, folks, we're living in trying times. Problem is, a lot of those trying times you and I made. How many times has God told a church, wake up? I'm going to tell you a story this morning. And I'm going to tell you the story about that tree. And I'm going to tell you a story about that cross. Because, you know, it was not until Jesus Christ came in a manger that the beginning of the end started. No, throughout on what we call the Old Testament, throughout all the ages, God said, sent through the mouth of the prophets, your Savior is coming. Your Savior is coming. What went on? It was the leaders of the churches or the tabernacles of God's people. God's people said, wait a minute. You keep this up, Lord, and the next thing we'll hear, you want us to invite the heathen in our presence. And we're your chosen people. What broke down? Instead of recognizing who chose us, the church, the tabernacles, all became so power overridden by human desire that the word of God was not coming out. The Jewish nation did not want to tell the world about the greatness of God. What if we became a believer? And we're not even pure blood. Let me tell you a story. As soon as I read this scripture, here's the power, and I want you to understand it. The beginning of the end focused when God came down. Jesus Christ is God coming down in the form of man. Because all the ones he had called to lead in the past could not keep their heart and focus on God the Father. Only God would be able to revive us again. Only God would be able to make a difference. And God says, I love you. Even though you curse me, even though you walk away from me, I love you. And I'm going to show you my love. I'm coming down. And when I come down, I want you to know something's going to happen. Amen. For my glory I'm bringing with me. I will touch your heart. I will give you hope. I will touch the illnesses. And I will touch that brokenness that you didn't think anybody could touch. The great physician has come. And he says, when I come, I'm going to walk among men. And he did. He grew up 100% human. Because he had to feel your pain and my pain. He listened to all the ridicule. He saw the brokenness. And he knew the only way is the cross. The tree is bright and shiny. And God came down. And we celebrate that birth, that's fine, with the bright and shiny tree. Hebrews 1:1-4. Now listen to God tell the story here. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, are you hearing me? Jesus ushered in the beginning of the end of the last days. Jesus ushered in the last day period. And the last day was going to be his church, his body. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born to usher in hope for a society, hope for a lost, hope for brokenness, physically, heart, mind, hope. He has spoken to, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus came down and glory filled our soul, whom he appointed. Who did he appoint? Jesus. He did not appoint any other name. The only name by which we can be saved is that of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the only one who could ever love us beyond who we are. He looks at you. He looks at me. He does not see right now where we are. He sees where we will be. And he helps us to head in the ditch to get back up and keep walking. When we are knocked down, it's Jesus that is there. When we need a friend, it's Jesus that is there. When we need to confess something, it's Jesus that is there. Talk to him, whom he appointed heir of all things. How much better do we want it, church? He appointed Jesus as heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You got it? It's all about who Jesus is. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, bringing love and power and strength like you've never known. The Son is the radiance. Now listen to this, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And that's why Jesus told him, hey, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you knew my Father, you would know who I am. Sustaining all things by his powerful word, not by yours, not by mine. After he had provided purification for sins, he cleaned us. He cleaned us. And after he did that, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Son of God, what have we overlooked? It is great that we celebrate. It is great that we look. It is great that we pay attention to the power of God. Jesus coming down, God incarnate. In a manger. Yet no one was there. They didn't have the tree then. They didn't have the lights then. They did not have the followers that came. Only the shepherds out in the field. They came. Pay attention to what Jesus is teaching his Jewish nation. For when you had no people, he said, when you were no one, all the rest of the nations, they refused to accept you. You were the vagabonds. You were the individuals that people looked down upon. And God says, now I have called you and made you my people. And when God made the Hebrew nation his people, they didn't have to worry about anything. They didn't have to worry about battles because God was taking care of it. They didn't have to worry about food because God fed them. And then the period came to where They no longer wanted to be only God's nation. They made this statement, "Give us a king so we can be like all other nations." God's children are not like all other nations. We're individual family of God who are made up of all nations, all colors, all languages, for a center point, Jesus Christ. We are Christian, and we have a responsibility as Christians to take the word to the world. But what if those people come into our church? Where do you think we came from? Think of it. You and I need to be about our Father's business, because He loved us so much, He came down. If you were here a little earlier, you would have seen me ask Randy to take the cloth off that is used on the cross, the colors. That's fine. Let me tell you, though, He came, as we celebrate today, in the brightness. But the reality was, it was a cave. The reality was, He was being born in a manger around the animals. At least the animals appreciated Him, and the heavenly host appreciated Him. But there was no pomp and ceremony. There was no representation of a gift until strangers came from the east. So it wasn't this pretty. And the cross, you see, in the beginning, at the beginning of the end of the age, was Jesus coming to history. And He came for a purpose. He came into a broken world. And as He came into a broken world, He came for one purpose. Jesus is the only individual that was ever born for the purpose of dying. Did you know that God did not create man to die? We were supposed to live forever in paradise, in the Garden of Eden style. But God gave us choice, the freedom to choose, the freedom to choose right or wrong, the freedom to choose to listen to God or not to listen to God. The freedom to look at the desires of the heart and make a decision. Which of the desires of our heart will glorify Christ the most? Not us, but Jesus. And they took our Savior, the one who came for you and me, and they put Him on, you remember the old rugged cross, how we're singing? Listen, folks. I look at people and they portray the cross. It's beautiful. I love the crosses. You're going to be having some presents from your pastor. It's going to be a cross. But here's the point. They said, no, I want a splinter, you know, from Jesus' cross, and no telling what I'll pay. Did you really think that that cross was put together just for Jesus? It was clean. It was pretty. Or do you realize through history that many had been already crucified on that cross? They did not build a brand new cross for Jesus. Yes, but oh, can you think of that? Whew! Dead people's blood and body parts on that cross. They want to use that for Jesus. They hated Jesus. And Jesus said, as He hung on a cross full of blood, full of nastiness, He hung on that cross and He looked at those who had placed Him there and He said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." Why not? Because their eyes had been blinded to the truth. You and I, church, have no right to continue to allow our eyes to be blinded from the truth. It is time that we take off the sunglasses, we take off the visors, that we take off anything that's going to hinder us from seeing and recognizing the truth of Almighty God. When God speaks, all heaven pays attention. When God speaks, All creatures on earth pay attention. All nature pays attention. All of creation that God has created pays attention to the voice of God, except for the greatest of His creation, the human being. Oh, we got this, God. I'm walking so close to you now, Lord. You just go ahead and take a break. I will show you what I can do. Ha! You're headed for the ditch. You're headed for the ditch. And God says, I love you too much to leave you down there. I did not come to see you as a loser. I came to let you know that in all ways within your life, you can be a winner. A winner through me. What happened? The church has closed its doors. That's not the worst. The church, the buildings, the people have closed their hearts. We speak of revival all the time. Well, let's have revival so people can get saved. Let me tell you about salvation. When revival is sent by the Holy Spirit, you cannot call a revival. I can't call a revival. An association can't call a revival. Nobody has that authority except for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that's going to come and set my soul afire. He said, I want you burning. I want you to feel the burn of victory. I want you to feel the burn of being able to watch the building of the power of God within your spirit, just like you were a weightlifter waiting for the burn so my muscles will grow. He says, the burn of your heart. When your heart's on fire, I come down. Jesus did not come down to put out the flames of my heart. He came down to encourage me, and He came down to make the flames burn higher. And He said, Larry, I've already paid it. Tell them, I paid for their sins. And all they need to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me. But they will not. It is not the preaching that brings people in. Listen, folks, the revival is for the church, remember? Why? Because unless the church is revived, the lost won't enter. Do you really think that God is going to trust us with the lost if the lost see each individual Christian not really thinking that much about their relationship with Christ? The lost come in when they witness on the outside a difference in the Christians or in the believers. When you go out and you go out in public and you're talking to your friends, do they see a difference? And I'm not talking about being judgmental. Oh, I'm going to slap you upside the head. The Bible make a Christian out of you if I had to break all 10 commandments to do it. No. It's about the love that's in your heart, the acceptance. It's not about pushing people aside, but bringing people in. So when they will say, well, you know, you can't imagine how many people were baptized and accepted Christ. Why? Because the church got revived. The Christian who had begged for revive us again, bring us, Lord, back from our own hardheartedness. Bring us, Lord, back from the selfishness of self, 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 and help us to have the power to reach out. For God, you are the only one that can give us strength. It is through the courage of Almighty God that you and I have hope. You can't stand, I can't stand, without the Holy Spirit of Almighty God giving me strength to do so. You can't preach, I can't preach, without the Holy Spirit of God giving me the wisdom and the strength to do so. It's not of man, it's of God. Amen. And once again, time after time after time, once again, or one of those times, the Lord says, church, let me back in. And you see the picture of Him knocking at the door. And that's the truth about that story in Revelation. Jesus was knocking to get back in his house. The church put Jesus out. We're talking about the first century church. It's not just today. So the Lord said, here's what I'm going to do. Larry Pete, all the rest of you at Vine Grove Baptist, I'm going to give you and write to you a love story. I'm going to give that love story directly to you. It's called a Holy Bible. If you can't afford one, you see your pastor. I have Randy buy it for you. I want you to have the Word of God in your hand. But the Word of God in your hand, if it does not go to your heart, it's just in your hand. It has to be in our spirit. It has to be where you and I once again stand up. And the people around the world say, "Woo! The glory of God has come down into the heart of His children once again." And the church must rise to once again be the church. The beginning came this way. Do you know that that's going to be dead, changed, and all the other? Do you know that the cross, we'll see it throughout eternity? Do you know that? That's a part of who Jesus is. Not only that, listen to me. The burning desire that Jesus had on this cross, on His cross, that burning desire that He had for you and for me, it's the ultimate love. And He said, I'm going to give you my ultimate love. Now, as I give you my love, I want you to share it with others who don't feel lovable, with others whom you had never thought about I'd lead you to. Because I went right there to that cross just for you. It was nasty when they put Jesus on it. It had all manner of stuff on it. But when Jesus ascended to the Father, for you and me, after the Father came looking for His Son, He knew where He was. The warning had already been put out. Jesus warned His own disciples and those who would listen, 3 days and three nights. But on that third day, my Son will rise again. Don't you love beautiful sunrises? Do you realize that when Jesus rose, He was never to set concerning us again? The glory of God that rose into the heavens, the power is still there. The power you and I have now, it's given to us because the Scripture says this: He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Do you also realize that Jesus says, don't you worry, I'm praying for you? Do you know that when Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, He did not forget your name? Do you realize that not only is Jesus in your heart, your name, who you are, is in His heart? Do we realize that He says, now look, the time is coming, and now is, when the Son of Man would be betrayed? That's just before He went to the cross, He told them. Do you really think we as a church and all other Christians ought not pay attention and read the stories of what happened from generation to generation about God's children who refused to continue in His way and lift His name up? Remember what happened to them? Well, which nation? I don't know. You don't even hear of many of them. Their names are never even heard again. They were wiped completely out. You and I are Christians. And if you're not a Christian in here today, and you know that God is touching your life, that the Holy Spirit power that I'm talking about has reached in, and you know you're feeling, oh, preacher, don't give an invitation. Preacher, don't give an invitation. Don't do that, preacher, don't do that. Do you know who's telling you not for me to do it? It isn't the Lord. If the Lord's stirring your heart, if it's that power of the Lord coming in, then what you and I need to understand is this. When God takes time out of all, don't you think that he might have a lot to do? And yet he takes out for individual you and me, each one of us as individuals. Folks, my heart is breaking. Your pastor's heart is like it's drowning for the lost that are out there, for those who have yet to come. And in a nation where we're given such freedom, we can come up here and nobody's going to get their head cut off today. Nobody's going to be killed because you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Nobody. And yet we still won't move for Jesus. And we watch the other nations, who we call them their foreigners. Well, them their foreigners over yonder in foreign land who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are willing to die rather than to deny Christ. And they're in bonds. They're tortured and tormented. And God says, America, I will give you the freedom. Grow in me. He did not tell us nor command us to grow in the great wealth we have in the United States of America and then to hold on to it, whether in money or anything else. But I'm talking specifically about the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. God says, my Spirit will come within. And when my Spirit comes within you, pay attention. It's a sign that I love you. Well, I just don't quite understand what God wants. Well, good. I've been preaching the gospel for, I don't know how long, 40-some years. And I still don't truly know at all what God wants from me. One day I'll get to know. But I got a job to do. And that job is the pleasure of my heart. Because my hobby is reading Scripture. My downtime is studying the Word of God. My peace that I receive is in prayer to God. Walking around mumbling anymore like people thinking, is he touched? Yes, I've been touched. Not just when I said yes to Jesus as an 8-year-old boy, but he touches every day. His word is holy. His word is powerful. And he says, I'm giving you my word. I'm giving you my power. Do something with it. Be out there and tell them about me, and I'll take care of all the rest. But Lord, I don't know how. For years, I have never understood what I'm going to preach when I get there. Those of you here know that from me. But you see, it has never been about me. It's about the message. Do we or do we not want to be Christians who love, Christians who are inclusive? Did you know that Jesus never excluded anybody? Did you know that? It didn't matter from any nation. Did you know that Jesus says, whosoever will, let him come? Did you know that Jesus said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? He didn't say, just you white dudes out there are going to get saved. He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. So let it be written. So let it be done. Amen, meaning what has just been said, sealed. So let it be done, Lord. Amen. And God says, I've already done it. I have sealed your spirit. Your spirit can never see death. Larry, don't worry about it. You'll never see death. You'll only see me at exactly the appointed time. Now, Larry, don't you be foolish, because you can bring it on yourself to die. Don't be foolish. Be prayerful. Because he said, I'm coming back. I came to you as a servant, 2,000 years ago, he came as a servant. He washed feet. He was spat upon. He was cursed out. And that's just by his own. All manner of evil was thrown at him. But he looked to the 21st century and beyond and said, I see. And then he names them. Therefore, don't think my second coming is slow. The reason I haven't come yet is because I would have anyone and everyone to be saved. Do you know, folks, hell was not created for man. No. Man has to choose to go there. For a person to walk around in this nation, throughout the world, and hear the gospel, and when they hear that gospel, they don't understand that it means I'm coming back for you. And when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Well, the only ones that would he's talking about there, is it not the church? Only the church is to have faith in Christ. Does that mean we're going to keep going the way we're going right now? We withhold our talents. We withhold finances and wonder why we're broke. We withhold everything within our life just to give it to our own. Our own are well taken care of. The poorest person in the United States of America has more than the people of 2/3 of the rest of the world. And we stand back and do nothing after his resurrection. A lot of his disciples still did not believe that Jesus had rose from the dead. His disciples. You know, these hard heads were the ones who walked with him. Just like the hard heads that we are here. We walk with him. Okay, when did the walk stop and why did it stop? And as they're walking along, these two, on a road to Emmaus, as they're walking along, this stranger sort of comes in between them. Luke 24:32. After they'd walked a while, he'd ask them questions and they said, well, let me tell you about our Savior and what happened. And then, at some point, Jesus revealed himself to them. And the next step, Jesus was gone. Now, folks, if that don't wake you up, it sure woke those two up. But listen to how they knew who it was. They ask each other. They're talking to each other. The two that were on the road to Emmaus, and not only that, the rest of the disciples, they said, ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Holy Spirit power. The opening of the Holy Spirit within your life will open up the Word of God. Without the power of the Holy Spirit giving us direction in our reading, we're only reading a good book. But the Son of God came and he died for you, died for me, so that we could have everlasting life with him. You see, to the world there's a beginning. To the world, there's an ending. But never a beginning of God, for he always has been. Never an ending. That story on the cross will be told. It will be told throughout eternity. Listen to me, folks, please. The Spirit of Almighty God has come down. And he is touching hearts. And as he touches hearts, he is saying to each one of us, there's a short time. There's a short time. Yeah, but what can I do? Well, how do I know that God wants me to do anything? Are you breathing? If you're breathing, God wants you to do something. Well, I'm just sitting back here, and as soon as I get smart enough, well, that's not going to happen. Your pastor can tell you that one. You're not going to get smart enough. It's not in the intellect of the mind, but in the Holy Spirit power of the soul. It's not head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. I want peace. But you see, every time that you and I are headed in the peaceful manner, for we say, you know, I'm doing this for you, Lord. Did you think that Satan was not going to put a mountain there? Did you think that a Goliath wasn't going to be standing in front of you? We need to shut up our mind and start paying attention to the Spirit of Almighty God. The only way to the other side is go through it. And when you go through it, I promise you, you have a Savior waiting there to greet you. And that Savior is going to say, I love you, but Lord, I'm a mess. Yep, but you my mess. Think of it. Let's pray. Father, as each of us lift our heart to you, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give us just a basic amount of enough spiritual sense and wisdom to listen to your call, to listen to your voice. Father, touch our hearts. Show us the hope. Give us the courage and the boldness. For Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.